So how did the roundtables go? How many did you have, and where were they?
Yeah, they went great. And to give a little bit of context, so we, in January, the administration launched an effort called Startup America, which was all about creating an effort to celebrate, inspire, and accelerate high-growth entrepreneurship. As you know, small businesses create the bulk of the net new jobs in the economy. So now more than ever, this effort is really important. And we launched a number of government programs in January. But at the same time, we said it's really important to get out and listen to entrepreneurs, to hear what barriers they're facing, and get specific ideas of how we can address those barriers. So we went out. We went to 8 different cities all across the country. In each city, we had roundtables in which we brought together entrepreneurs, investors, and other players in the entrepreneurial ecosystem. And we came to that simple question: what barriers are you facing? Give us ideas of how we can fix things. And then in addition to the 8 in-person meetings, we set up an online platform where people from around the country could also submit specific ideas. And it was an incredibly constructive dialogue, lots of great ideas, and we're already moving forward working on implementing some of them.
What were some of the top themes that you heard back from entrepreneurs as they spoke to you at the roundtables?
Yeah, great question. And it was interesting to watch how certain themes recurred over and over again. And when you heard them in all 8 cities, you know it was important. Some of them were not surprising. There were issues that we've heard in many other contexts, issues like access to capital, whether that's bank loans or investment capital or angel capital, et cetera, et cetera. Others, access to, you know, high-quality people or access to customers. And so in the people bucket, ideas as it related to immigration and getting, you know, high-skilled talent to bring into these the new ventures. What was a bit of a surprise was, you know, we expected to hear a lot about regulations, and certainly we did. But probably more important than change Regulation X or Regulation Y, what we heard was, hey, can government work differently? We, you know, things like, wow, it's really hard for entrepreneurs to navigate the federal government. How can we simplify things? Or for small businesses, time is money. So how can we as a federal government work faster and shorten cycle times? Because that can make a huge difference to entrepreneurs.
It's one thing to get all of this feedback and to have this give and take, and it's another thing to put it into practice. You had mentioned that you're already moving forward on some of these ideas?
Yes, absolutely. So the first message we got from the entrepreneurs was, hey, thanks for coming out and listening, right? They don't have lobbyists. You know, entrepreneurs don't have lobbyists in Washington. They were too busy to take time to have input into the policy process. So they very much were appreciative of the fact that we came out to listen. At the same time, they're entrepreneurs. They like action. So they say thanks, and then they say, okay, now what are you going to do? And so we are moving forward. And basically, with all the ideas, we put them into one of 3 buckets. One is actions that will require congressional and legislative action. Some of the specific ideas that came out of the roundtables you saw put forth in the president's jobs plan that was announced last week. Second bucket are ideas that really are more appropriate for the private sector to lead, and we've got lots of good partnerships, including the Startup America partnership, with private sector organizations who can take the lead. And then thirdly are ideas that the administration can act and the executive branch can act on its own. And again, when we issued the report last week, we already had a couple of specific actions that we had taken to show, look at, we're taking this seriously, and we have a bias to action in getting things done.
We're speaking with Sean Green, the Associate Administrator for Investment at the Small Business Administration. And just to help frame this, give us an idea of the types of companies. Were they mostly one- and two-man shops or one- and two-person shops? Service companies? Did you have manufacturers? Tell us about who was there.
Yeah, again, a great question. So this focus really was on entrepreneurs with high growth potential. So they could be small now, but these are companies who are thinking big, who are small business now, but have dreams and aspirations and plans to become bigger companies. Now, when you look at the job creation numbers, what we see is those kind of companies have a disproportionately big impact on job creation. Now, the conventional wisdom, the stereotype is those are only, you know, a couple of engineers in a garage in Silicon Valley. That's not true. It's clearly there are great high-growth entrepreneurs in Silicon Valley. But they're all over the country. And it's not just high-tech. It's in every industry. And so we saw that the diversity in that mix reflected in the entrepreneurs that we talked to. You know, we went out, to Minneapolis. We were down in Raleigh-Durham. We were out in Denver. So we really tried to get a good cross-section, and we heard from a great diversity of entrepreneurs.
So what is it agencies then should be watching for in the next weeks and months when it comes to getting rid of some of these outdated regulations?
So as we took in all the ideas, we had over 250, you know, unique specific ideas. We then worked with the agencies to identify which ones were appropriate for their agency and to get them to the right people at each agency. And again, part of the issue for the entrepreneurs is they may have a good idea, but they don't know how to get it into the hands of the right person, and we help them do that. Now, in parallel, there's a separate effort going on. The president issued an executive order to say, hey, let's take a retroactive look back at all existing regulations and identify ones that maybe are time to sunset or modify or make exemptions for small businesses. So we are working together with that part of the process, which is happening with the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, in which each agency has a plan specifically for regulations. We took all of this feedback and made sure we were getting it into that process, which each agency is going through. And those plans from each agency have now been published publicly to say, here's what each agency is going to take a deep dive on.
And so our plans now to inculcate these changes, get this going, and then maybe have another round of listening and do it all again?
Well, you know, I think that listening and talking to the customers, if you will, is an incredibly important part of this effort overall. And one of the pieces of feedback is this kind of feedback is an incredibly important part, not just now, but an ongoing basis. So that very much will be built into how we want to work going forward, whether we do it in this specific kind of here's a series of roundtables we do it once or we just make that an ongoing part of our day-to-day workings to be determined. But institutionalizing this kind of feedback is incredibly important.
And there's always the law of unintended consequences. How do you bake that into the process so that what you don't intend to happen happens or that you don't have something that happens that you don't intend to happen?
Yeah,
that makes sense.
it's a great question, and it's a really important issue because, as you rightly point out, it happens all the time with government programs. So I think that, and so there is no silver bullet answer, is the short answer. The longer one is it can happen both ways, you know, in programs that we're looking to pursue, or more broadly, there are other good programs which can have a disproportionate impact on small businesses. So I think both having that lens every time new regulations or new programs are set up to say, okay, how does this affect the little guy? That's important. And then secondly, to have an adaptability so that when new things are done, you recognize that there may have been some unintended consequence. You build in the capability to say, to adjust and modify and iterate as you go. And that, we also learn from entrepreneurs. That's what entrepreneurs do really well. Nobody gets it right the first time. But so the real key to success is you move forward, you put a stake in the ground, and then you iterate and evolve from there. And we can learn that lesson from entrepreneurs as well.